with Russian forces. They had a handheld GPS unit and a satellite phone. They also had an all-weather tent, a hatchet, a hunting knife, ropes, 3 water bottles, a medical kit, matches, and a massive explosion erupted above them. The heat-seeking missiles had finally found their target. The dark sky was engulfed in a blinding fireball of searing orange and red. In moments, molten metal, remnants of the $40 million business jet, would begin raining down around them, and the icy earth was rushing up fast. Plunging downward in a spread eagle posture, Marcus wiped away the ice crystals forming on the altimeter strapped to his wrist. 6,000 feet, 5,000 feet, 4,000, 3,000. Had he been alone, he would have held out longer until he was closer to the ground and far less likely to be spotted. But while Marcus had trained for halo jumps during his stint in the Marines, the 46-year-old Russian at his side had not. Alek Kraskin, codenamed the Raven, had served in the Red Army. He'd completed basic training, but had gone on to work as a clerk in the Office of Military Attorneys. He'd neither jumped out of a plane in his life, nor imagined having to do so. Marcus had seen the terror in the man's eyes when he'd briefed him on the escape plan, but there was no other way. He needed the Raven alive, so the decision wasn't hard. Better they should pull their ripcords now than delay any further and risk a miscalculation that could prove fatal. As they broke through the cloud cover around 2,300 feet, Marcus spotted his Russian comrade 30 yards to his right and gave the signal that it was time. There was no response. Again, Marcus signaled with a wave of his arms, but again, Alek neither acknowledged him nor opened his chute. Something was wrong. Marcus had drilled into Alek the few essential things he needed to remember to survive this jump. Why wasn't he responding? Plunging beneath 1,500 feet, Marcus tried again to get the Russian's attention, to no avail. Now he had mere seconds to act. He could feel his heart rate spiking. A massive shot of adrenaline surged through his system. Pulling his arms to his sides and bringing his feet together, Marcus leaned right, cutting a path through the rushing wind and blowing snow. It was an awkward maneuver, made more so by the wounded woman slipping in and out of consciousness, strapped to the front of his tandem jumpsuit, complicating his every move. A moment later, Marcus slammed into Alec's side. Still no response. The Raven had blacked out. Marcus forced himself to stay calm. Back in his earliest days in the Marines, during jump school at Paris Island, he had practiced helping a fellow diver in distress, though they'd never trained him to do so during a tandem jump. Marcus had no idea whether his canopy built for two could adequately slow the rate of descent for 3 jumpers without killing them all. But as he flipped on his night vision gear and got his bearings, he knew there was no other way. They were coming down over land, not water. But below them were forests thick with snow-covered pines. Off to his left, Marcus could see a small clearing. He could steer to it if he deployed his own chute immediately. But if he pulled Alec's ripcord first, he had no way to direct the Russian's descent. Alek could easily get caught in trees 60 to 80 feet high, unreachable by Marcus from the ground. Or Alek could simply become impaled on one of the soaring pines. They were now passing below 1,000 feet. Marcus maneuvered himself forward through the near-blinding snowfall, grabbed Alec's harness with one gloved hand, and yanked the man toward him. Reaching into his vest with his other gloved hand, he drew out a carabiner and bound Alec's harness to his own. 800 feet. 700 feet. Now or never. Gripping Alek with one hand as tightly as he could, Marcus pulled his own ripcord with the other. His chute instantly deployed. The metal fastener binding the two men held fast, so Marcus desperately tried to steer the three of them out of danger and toward the clearing he had spotted.